type. Would anybody disagree with that? And then there's probably some things we need to add to our life in 2026. And so we'll work on that and do that. But we don't want to do it in a shallow way. We really want to do it. How many of y'all have ever made a New Year's resolution? Anybody? How many of you kept it past January 1st? Second? Third? It doesn't stay long, does it? Well, I found some funny resolutions. And here's some for you. One was, I won't bore my boss with the same excuses for absences, but I will think of some new excuses this year. So, I mean, another one is, I'll never again take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. I will answer my snail mail with the same enthusiasm which I answer my email or text. Okay, I resolve to clean out my email inbox, or at least delete 5 emails and feel like I accomplished something. I spent an hour deleting stuff the other night, and I still have over 70,000 in my inbox. I mean, it's crazy, but let me tell you, I can find anything anybody's ever sent me. So, you know, that's just in one inbox. I have another inbox got 40,000 in it. Here's another one. I'll start buying Powerball tickets at a better store, luckier store, right? Some of y'all are there. I will always wear clean underwear just in case. Now, I don't know about y'all younger ones, but my generation, our mamas always told us, wear clean underwear. You don't know what might happen. It's like, okay, I'm going to be in a car wreck, and I'm going to be bleeding from every point of my body, but I got clean underwear on. I mean, you know, another one is, I'll play more video games because scientists say they're good for you, and they improve your hand-eye coordination skills, right? I mean, so some of those kids are now flying drones for the Army. But here's one for me. I'll try and drive closer to the speed limit. Not. So. But don't be upset if I pass you on Peter's Road one day or anything. But we all need to make a resolution that we're going to grow in our relationship with Jesus this year. And so tonight, I want to tell you, we're in a fight. We're in a battle. You know, there's been a lot of famous battles, like, you know, in our country, we've had the Battle of Bunker Hill. Anybody ever been to Bunker Hill to see that battleground? Or the Battle of Gettysburg, I've been there. We've had the D-Day battle, which we've got the D-Day Museum here. The Battle of Midway. We were watching History Channel one night and watched the Battle of Midway, the videos from that, and the Battle of the Bulge. I had an uncle at the Battle of the Bulge. Then there's the Battle of La Drang in Vietnam, which the movie We Were Soldiers When We Were Young was made after. And so there's all kind of battles. And Bruce talked about a battle that we face this past Sunday. He talked about the battle of being distracted from our relationship with the Lord. And that's harder today in our society because there's so much to distract us, right? So write it down. Life is a battle. Write that down. Life is a battle. And so I probably should have said living for Jesus is a battle, because really life is okay as long as you're living for the devil. As long as you're just floating downstream, the devil will leave you alone. But you start trying to live for the Lord, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. But anything that's worthwhile is worth fighting for. And I want to talk about that. I mean, think about it. If you want to have spiritual growth, you've got to fight for your spiritual growth. It's a battle to grow. If you want to have a great marriage, you've got to fight for that. If you want to have good finances, you've got to sacrifice. That's a fight. All these things that are worthwhile, we've got to fight for. And so, really, battle or soldier is the second most used analogy in the Bible. We're called soldiers and all that kind of stuff. And so, the first is that of an athlete, but as far as the soldier, words like conquer, fight, battle, war, overcome, victory, those are all fighting words, and they're all throughout the Bible. We are in a fight. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. He said this, fight the good fight of faith. That's the fight that we're fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Then in 1 Corinthians, he said, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to what? Win. I fight to win. And so that's the attitude we need to have as we start off this new year. We need to determine that we're not going to mess around. We're going to fight to win the battles that God puts in front of us. And so the battles I want us to look at tonight aren't with our culture. They're not with the devil. They're not with good or evil, and not with your neighbor. The battle we're going to talk about tonight are personal battles that we're all going to fight this year as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. So if we don't learn how to win these battles, it doesn't matter what your goals are or how many New Year's resolutions you make, nothing's going to work. So we're not in a battle of ideologies, politics, evil, or any of that. We're in an inner fight. The battle is inside us. And look what Paul wrote in Ephesians. He said, "For we're not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age." So the powers of this dark age are what we're battling against, and those battles occur here and here, in our head and in our hearts. It's basically our old nature versus our new nature. When you got saved, you got a new nature. God created you anew, and you have a new nature. But that old nature didn't get killed, okay? And so you still got that battle going on. Somebody one time said, it's like two dogs fighting in my mind, and say, which one's going to win? Well, the one I feed. If you feed that evil nature, guess what's going to be stronger? The evil nature will be, and you're going to do more. But if you feed the good nature, your new nature, guess what's going to be stronger and win? Your new nature will. And we're going to talk about how to do that. And so whichever one you feed is going to win. Paul said this in Romans 7. I love this passage because it gives me hope. He said, "I love to do God's will." Anybody with me on that? As far as my new nature is concerned. "But there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that's a war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead, I find myself enslaved to sin." So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but my old nature is still inside me, loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Then he goes, "Thank God. It has been done by who? By Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has set me free." And so we've been set free as well. But the biggest war you're going to fight in 2026, we don't know what 2026 holds, but it's not with other people. It's going to be inside you. And there's probably several battles of this war I could tell you about, but I want to go over three that we're going to face, and I believe we'll face. So write these down. The first is a battle is between selfishness and unselfishness. Every day we've got to decide, am I going to live for God? Or am I going to live for me? Every day, you got to make that decision. When you get up, am I going to live for me or am I going to live for God? And so we've got to make that decision. And every time you win this battle, every time you choose selflessness, you're going to grow stronger. You're going to grow stronger. Write this down. Every time I choose selfishness, it creates conflict with other people. So when you choose selfishness, you get conflict. When you choose selflessness, you get peace. Look what James said in James 4. He said, "Do you know where your fights and arguments come from?" They don't come from the outside. He said, "They come from the selfish desires that war within you. You want things, but you don't have them. So you're ready to kill and are jealous of other people, but you still can't get what you want. So you argue and you fight. You don't get what you want because you don't ask God." I mean, think of any conflicts you've got. Might be with your spouse, your kids, might be at work, could be with cousins or whatever. Those conflicts, chances are, didn't start with them. They started with you inside somewhere. And if we had a more humble spirit inside us, maybe even their quirkiness, their sinful choices and mistakes wouldn't bother us as bad as they do. So the more selfish and self-centered we are, the more conflict we're going to have with others. And you can tell that. I can tell if I'm not in the Word regularly, and I'm not, as the inmates would say, worded up, I'm going to have more conflicts with other people. And so you might hear me call somebody a moron or something like that. I don't know. But, so write this down. When you choose to act unselfishly, your life becomes more peaceful. Anybody want peace? I want more peaceful. Paul said in Philippians, he said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. He says this, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So when somebody says, I'm not my brother's keeper, Paul's saying, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And I don't want you to misunderstand humility. Humility is not putting yourself down. It's just not focusing on you. You're incredibly valued. I mean, the Son of God left heaven to pay the price for your sins. You're valuable to God. But he wants us to be humble. So humility is not thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less. Does that make sense? And so people with humility, they walk into a room. They're not worried about, well, what's God, what are people thinking about me? Is my hair all right? My pants on right? Whatever. No, they're walking in thinking, how can I serve? How can I help somebody? Who's somebody that needs my help today? And so we need to understand that. So the second battle is between forgiveness and bitterness. Getting a little personal now. Listen, you'll fight this one over and over and over again. Because we live in a broken world, we will be hurt by somebody. Somebody's going to hurt you or offend you this year. And guess what? You're probably going to hurt and offend somebody this year. And so it's going to happen, either intentionally or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That sometimes it's an accident, and sometimes you're thinking, I'm going to get them. And then you feel bad when you do it, but you still do it. And so we live in a broken world, and so somebody's going to hurt us at some point. Write this down. You can't control what happens to you, but you can 100% control your response. You can 100% control your response. You can't control what's going to hurt you and the hurts you're going to experience, but you can control how long you hurt by how you choose to deal with it. And so Hebrews 12:5 says this, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. So he's saying, look after each other. That's what we do here in a family. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Listen, when you get bitter, it doesn't just mess your life up. It messes up the lives around you. Because all of a sudden you start seeing people, they don't want to be around you. Who wants to be around somebody that's nasty all the time? I mean, think about it. And it just rubs off and they get nasty. If you hold on to hurt, it's going to last and last and last. But if you let it go and learn to forgive, you can shorten that period that it hurts. And some people are holding on to hurt that's lasted for years. And so we got to be willing to let it go. It's what that devotional was talking about. Write this down. You need to deal with hurt immediately so that it doesn't turn to bitterness. The longer you hold on to it, the more it goes. And when it turns into bitterness, bitterness will impact your health. It impacts everything in your life. Paul said this, when you're angry, don't sin. Be sure to stop sinning or stop being angry before the end of the day. So as soon as you can, resolve that anger. Choose to forgive. Don't stay angry. Don't let it turn into bitterness. Get over it. You know, don't nurse a grudge. So somebody one time said a great marriage is the union of two great forgivers. There's a principle also that we know of. I know some people have more to forgive than others. Sitting on this side, going that way. There's a saying that goes like this, what goes around comes around. If we put good stuff on the wheel, what happens? Good stuff comes back. We put bitterness on the wheel, bitterness is coming back. I don't know about you, but I don't want bitterness coming back. Galatians 6:7 says this, do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. People will reap exactly what they sow. If you reap anger and bitterness and nastiness, you're going to reap that if you sow that. And then here's another part of the principle. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one that plants generously will get a generous crop. When we're planting good seeds, we need to just throw them out there. We need to plant as many as we can and planting good seeds. So we're going to reap what we sow. So we need to write this down, learn to forgive immediately and not hold on to it. I don't know about you, but I want forgiveness to come back at me. So what do I need to do? I need to forgive. And so we need to forgive immediately. Romans 8:37, Paul said this, "In all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us." With God's help, we can do it. We can forgive, and we can get rid of that hurt. And so because of that, write this down, God enables us to be more than. Now, while you're thinking, why didn't he finish the sentence? That's the sentence. More than whatever you put at the end of it. More than what somebody said about you. More than what was spoken over you when you were a kid. More than what's happened to you. When you let God take a hurt and turn it around, you become more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Write this down. God can turn something bad in your life into spiritual growth. What was intended to break you makes you better. What was intended to hurt you ends up helping you. What was intended to separate you from God's love brings you closer. And sometimes, through forgiveness, you turn an enemy into a friend when you forgive. And so we're going to have that choice. The third battle we're going to fight is between what's easy and what's right. Between what's easy and what's right. Look what Paul said in Galatians. He said, what your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. And what your spiritual nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. They're opposed to each other. As a result, you don't always do what you intended to do. Anybody with me on that? Anybody identify with that? I mean, you know, we don't always do what we wanted to do. But the easy thing is just to flow with the crowd, you know, and not stand up and live for God. You know, we don't always say what we intended. Anybody ever said something, but in your brain it sounded different? It sounded better? But when it came out, it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. All the time, right? So a lot of times, you know, think about New Year's resolutions. I mean, you know, our new nature wants to be healthy. I mean, I want to be healthy and serve God long time. And so our new nature wants to be healthy and eat healthy, which is real hard around River Church. But our old nature, you know, says eat whatever, you know, eat all that cake up there. And eat everything, do everything that's bad for you. Our new nature wants to be organized. Our old nature is just chaotic, right? Looks like a bomb went off. Our new nature is disciplined. Our old nature is what? Not disciplined. Our new nature wants peace in our relationships, but our old nature kind of wants to stir it up. And so too often we let our old nature win because we're tired. You know, my little brother, and there was only two of us, but like if you're like number four or five in the lineup of kids, you can get away with anything because your parents are just tired. The first one, I'm a firstborn. We can't get away with nothing. I mean, it's like everything. They won't let you eat food a certain way. You know, by the fifth one, if he's not bleeding, he's all right. You know, so I mean, does he have a concussion? Is he unconscious? We just get tired, right? And so sometimes we just get too tired, and we allow short-term relief to happen instead of long-term discipline and training of ourselves and of our children. We've got to focus on long-term benefits of doing the right thing. I think, trying to remember the statement, hard decisions are easy to live out. Easy decisions are hard to live out. So you make the hard decision now, and they're easy to live out when you do that. And so we've got to learn to not grow tired. And if you think about it, write this down. Most of our problems in life come from our inability to delay gratification. I mean, think about it. We want what we want now. Right? So we'll put it all on a credit card or whatever. The Bible says this, let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. So don't get tired of doing right. Why? Because there's a blessing coming for doing the right thing consistently over time. So think about it. What matters in your life so much that you're willing to fight for it? Is it better health? I mean, all of us want to be healthy, right? Is it closer walk with the Lord? Is it your marriage? Is it to your kids to be strong? All of us would probably want that. Or your spiritual growth, getting out of debt, your time with God. Maybe we need more. All of us need more of all of these, right? Hope over despair, victory over fear. Listen, I want us to win our battles. And history shows that whoever has the best weapons wins. That's why Israel just beat the daylights out of everybody around them here recently. They've got better weapons, and they know how to use them. That's why we can do whatever we want to do right at this point. We can put a missile or a bomb anywhere in the world we want, and nothing anybody can do to stop that. And so the people with the best weapons win the battles. Well, we've got the absolute best weapons. And so I want to go over some of those. We can win the battle against our old nature by using these weapons. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. Paul said this, we do live in the world, but we don't fight the same way the world fights. So we don't have to fight with our thumbs on social media. If you read somebody, I mean, Franklin Graham can post John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And there'll be just trash in the comments under that. That's not how we fight. We fight a spiritual fight. He said, we don't fight the way the world fights. Look what he says. We fight with weapons that are different from those the world uses. Our weapons have the power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places, and we destroy people's arguments. These are weapons that only believers have. And so I want to go over some real quick. There's probably more. There's more than this, but and we could do a whole talk on spiritual warfare. But one weapon is I draw faith from God's Word. Write that down. I love God's Word. I love reading it. I've loved it from when I got saved. When I got saved, I had a class in school. They didn't have a course I wanted to take in high school. And so I talked to an English teacher into letting me do a Bible literature class where I had to go read the Bible for an hour a day. That changed my life early. And so I draw faith from God's Word. The more you read, the more faith you're going to have. You read the Bible, and man, I tell you, some of it's tough. I was reading Malachi. Malachi's got some rough stuff in it. So does Zechariah and Zephaniah and some of those prophets. They didn't play around. And, but the more I read, the stronger my faith gets. You know, and faith can move mountains. Faith can do enormous things. And so the more faith you have, the more power to fight the battles that you're going to have. So get your faith strengthened up. Get your faith up and get into God's Word. And so write this down. Faith is also a defensive weapon. In the spiritual warfare, it says this. It refers to faith as a shield. He said, in every battle, you need your faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. So the faith, you know, it shields, that shield protects a soldier. Your faith will quench the attacks of the devil that are coming against you, and he is coming against each one of us. And he'll try and cast doubt. He'll try and get you to be afraid. Listen, devil has no power over you, but he'll try to convince you that he does. And so fiery ideas that he's going to shoot are thoughts that the devil's going to plant in your mind. Maybe ideas of depression or despair. Oh, this is terrible. It's never going to get better or whatever. You know, and we live in a microwave society. My mother went through the depression. You know, when something was bad one day, it didn't bother her, you know, because she'd been through where nothing was working good for years, you know, but faith will put that shield up that'll keep the devil's lies from hurting you. It's a defensive weapon. So how do you build your faith up? How do you build your faith up? Through the Word of God. You build your faith up through the Word of God. And so we've got to get the Word in us. Romans 10:17, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got to hear, see, read, speak the Word of God. If you want your faith to grow, you've got to get in the Word. You've got to get the Word in you. You want to listen to it. It's easy with you just pull out an app, the YouVersion Bible. It'll read to you. You don't even have to read it. You can hit it and it'll play and read to you. Listen to it, read it, study it, memorize it. I wish I could be like Ronald. Ronald's got like whole books memorized and stuff, but you know, you get that Word in you. And so if you want your faith to grow, get into the Word. We need to hear, read, the Word of God, and you need to do it more than once a week. I mean, think about it. If you only took a bath once a week, it wouldn't be too good, right? We need to be worded up. The Bible says, put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So salvation is our helmet. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So your offensive weapon is your sword. If you watch The House of David, it's a good series, but you got to be ready for a lot of sword fighting, okay? But our sword is the Word of God. And it has promises. It has commands. It's got truth. It's got teachings. The Word of God will correct us when we're wrong and show us the right way to go. And so we've got to... got to be into that. No soldier would go into battle without his sword or his weapon and his shield. And so read it, meditate on it, memorize it, apply it in your life. Listen, we don't want to just learn it. We don't need it up here. We need it here and in our actions. And so when we hear something, we've got to live up to that. And so do that. The second weapon is what we're doing tonight. I receive support from God's people. We need each other. One reason many of us lose battles is because you don't have support from God's people. We don't have like-minded people around us. And when you're by yourself and something horrible is happening, it is a lonely, lonely thing. But in a body, in a family, you can be plugged in. And so write this down. God never intended you to fight your battles on your own. We are created for relationship. What did he say in Genesis? It's not good for man to be alone. He wasn't just talking about a wife. He's talking about relationships. It's not good for us to be alone. We think crazy things when we're by ourselves all the time. And isolation is not good for the human psyche. Look at Philippians 1:30. It says, we are in this struggle, what? Together. He said, you've seen my struggle in the past. And you know that I'm still in the middle of it. So Paul said, look, we're in this thing together. I'm struggling, you're struggling. And then in Hebrews, it says this, you should not stay away from church meetings, as some are doing. Every church ought to be full tonight somewhere. He said, you shouldn't stay away from church meetings, as some are doing, but you should meet together, and what's that next word? Encourage each other. You know what's encouraging? I might be going through something, and Wayne's already gone through it. And he can say, you know what? You're going to be okay. I went through that last year, and you're going to be okay. And so somebody else, you got a teenager that's going crazy. I'm sure we got some people in here that have survived crazy teenagers already. And so, you know, we encourage each other. And he said, do this even more as you see the day coming. He's talking about the last day, the judgment day. And that's coming. I believe Jesus is coming sooner than later. So we have worship services, we have special events, small groups. We've got the Wednesday nights. You know, there's something in Louisiana, especially this part of Louisiana, people fellowship around a table eating, you know, and so that's Wednesday night. Sit around and get to know some people, you know, and then, and so we're going to have good kids programs all the time. Chrissy has taken our children's ministry to another level and to where those kids love to come. And so we want you here. So let me ask you, how many of y'all like to eat? Oh, that's a crazy question to ask this group. But worship is nourishment for our soul. We nourished our body tonight, but worship is nourishment for our soul. Have you ever been down and out and then maybe put on some ear pods and gone for a walk and played some worship music or sang some worship music? I used to would walk on the levee before I moved over here when I was in Metairie, and I'd be singing worship songs, and I'd notice nobody would be around me. But anyway, it made me feel better. It didn't make necessarily the people around me feel better. But worship refreshes you. It's just nourishment for our souls. And look, so write this down. Worship refreshes your mind and cleanses your spirit. Listen, you can't think mean thoughts and worship at the same time. You just can't do it. Can't focus on God and focus on doing the devil's deeds at the same time. It just doesn't work. Doesn't work. So worship will refresh your mind and cleanse your spirit. And just like a bath cleanses you each day. And so Ecclesiastes, it says this. Solomon wrote, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. You know, here's what happens. We're isolated. I see this all the time. People get a little bit depressed or they get offended or something, and so they isolate back. They're depressed and they're isolated, and the devil just starts attacking. And they start thinking crazy thoughts. And the thoughts just get worse and worse, and you spiral downward because you're not around anybody. When the very thing you need to do is draw strength from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we've got to, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You got to have somebody in your life you can talk to that can pick you up. When I used to run, it says three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. When I was in my early 20s, before I moved down here, I used to run a lot. And there was a lot less of me for my feet to carry back then. And so I'd go running, and there'd be days when I didn't feel like going for a six-mile run. But I knew two guys were waiting on me to go running. And there'd be days one of them didn't feel like running, but they knew two guys were going to be waiting on them. And so there can be victory in numbers. Three's a good small group, you know, and so we need that. We need that triple braided cord. It's not easily broken. So we need to draw strength from each other. The third weapon is I receive power from the Holy Spirit. I receive power from the Holy Spirit. And so only as believers do we get this. Write this down. You need a power greater than yourself to fight the battles you're going to face this year. Let me just tell you. You're going to encounter some stuff that without the power of God in your life are going to be difficult, if not impossible, for you to go through. And I just don't know how some people do it that aren't involved in a church family. You need a power greater than yourself. John wrote this in 1 John 4:4. He said, "You belong to God, dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because here's the key. The Spirit who lives in you is what? Greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Y'all, we've got more power than the devil. The devil can try and trick us, lie to us, get us to doubt, but he can't do anything to you because the Holy Spirit in you is greater than the spirits in the world. So why aren't we afraid? You know, if you watch the news, the sky's falling. You know, one channel, the sky's falling for one reason. The other channel, the sky's falling for the other reason. You know, but we don't need to be afraid. If we read the Word of God, we win in the end. That last chapter, who gets thrown in the lake of fire? The devil and all the people that mocked God and didn't follow him. And so we want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. So, write this down. God will help us fight our battles. You don't have to fight that battle alone. God will help you. Look at Psalm 44:3. They didn't conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power. We conquer the battles we're going to go through by God's power. By God's power. And greater is he that's in each one of you than he that's in the world. And you've got God's power you can depend on. So how do you get that? Well, write this down. We connect with God's power through prayer. That's why we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up. We connect with God's power through prayer. And so we're going to do 21 days where we're going to focus on praying. And so I practiced one. I'm going to have a little short video devotion. I'm going to pop down in every morning for you as we go through the 21 days. And I won't be up at 6 doing it, but I'll drop it in the, so it'll be there fairly early. You can read it, look at it anytime. It's come out to you in an email. And so make sure you filled out a connection card. But we're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And fasting, you know, is just, it's denying our flesh. It's defeating our fleshly desires. And y'all don't want to be around me on day 3 of no sugar. I actually had a guy text me last October when I got off of sugar and lost 20 pounds. On day 3, he said, "Don't kill anybody today." That was his text. That's all. And I knew exactly what he's talking about, because on about day 3, the paint starts looking like cake icing, you know, and sugar cookies and stuff. But we're going to defeat our flesh. That's what fasting's going to do. And so we connect through prayer. Write this down. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. We need to be praying all the time. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We need to be praying for other believers. And this year, I'm going to bring more alertness to it. But we've got believers, Christians in countries all over the world who have been slaughtered by Muslims. Islam is not a peaceful religion. They're being slaughtered in Nigeria, where the president just dropped some bombs with incorporating with the Nigerian government because Muslim extremists are killing thousands of Christians over there. And it's happening in other countries too. There are more martyrs today than ever before. And so we've got it pretty easy here. We just got to worry if somebody's going to cancel us out on social media or something. Christians in other parts of the world have to worry about a lot more. So we need to pray for Christians everywhere. Write this down. We're to use all our weapons so that we'll stand firm. Paul said, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. You're going to go through battles this coming year. And we're going to be fighting the fight of faith. And he said, if you use your weapons, you're going to be standing firm. No matter what happens, you can stand firm when it's all said and done. And that's our goal. Now write this down. I'm about done. Your most important weapon is your salvation. That's where it all starts. The most important protection for soldiers is headgear. I mean, if your head gets smashed in, don't matter how good a shape the rest of your body is, it's not going to work without the head. And so you got to protect that head, right? You got to protect your thoughts. And so if my thoughts are whacked out, my actions are going to be whacked out. Look what Ephesians 6:17, Paul said, accept God's salvation as your helmet. That's going to protect us. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then John said, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle? Only those that believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't know how somebody that doesn't know Jesus can go through the battles that this life brings. And so that's salvation. We want you to know God, and I'm going to give you in just a minute an opportunity to do that. But, I used to like to look at tombstones, and when I would camp as a scout, we found this place. It was like an old Civil War graveyard up in the mountains, and they had tombstones on there. But there's what would you like to have on your tombstone? And Paul wrote really something we all ought to want to Timothy. He said this, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Wouldn't it be good to be able to say that? I want to be able to say that. Let me give you three New Year's resolutions. It's on the back page of your notes. If you want to look at those, as one, we all need to resolve we're going to spend more time in God's Word. And we can get more of those one-year Bibles if you don't have one, but you need to spend more time in God's Word. We do something called the first 15, and I know some of you do the first 45. You know, you're doing 15 minutes of each of these. But 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes of worship. Everybody can take 15 minutes and do that at the beginning of your day. Spend more time in God's Word. Spend more time with God's people. We got people that come on Sundays, don't come on Wednesdays, and some maybe vice versa. I love to be around you guys, and so I hate missing it. Pastor Kathy talked about that when we were gone. Yes, fun to travel and do some fun things, but we miss being here. And so I need that. And so maybe that's something you need to do, is spend more time with God's people, not just in church. Maybe that needs to be your circle of friends, of your good friends that are going to be God's people doing the same things that you know God wants you to do. And then spend more time trusting the Holy Spirit. And you can add six or seven more to those as we go. And so let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. God, I thank you that you've spoken to us. And Lord, I pray that as we enter 2026, we'll all resolve that we're going to grow our relationship with you, that we're going to spend more time in your word. We're going to spend more time with your people. We're going to spend more time, Lord, serving you and trusting the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, for anybody here that doesn't know you or that's watching that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I just pray right now that, Lord, as you're drawing on their hearts, that you'll let them realize that the way that they're going to overcome the battles in life whether it's overcoming addiction, whether it's overcoming relationships, whatever it is, the way we're going to win is through a relationship with Jesus that's alive and it's real. And so, Lord, I just pray that you draw them right now. If that's you and you're being, maybe there's a little tugging on your heart, I'm going to pray a prayer I prayed years ago. It's just simple. You don't have to be a theologian. You just give all of yourself that you can to all that you know of God. But pray this with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Come into my life, Jesus. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power to follow you every day. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, if your head bowed and eyes closed, you can check that off on your connection card for me and turn that in at the door. But here's the thing. If you prayed that prayer, the God who created the universe just came into your life. And he forgave you of every sin you've ever committed. And he said, you're mine now. And if you'll let him and you'll say, Lord, I want to live the way you want me to live. He'll begin to lead you and guide you through the word and through relationships. I want to pray a prayer for each one of you and for us as we get ready to go. Lord, I just pray that you make yourself real to anyone that prayed that prayer. Lord, show yourself to be real in their life like you have mine. And so, God, I just thank you that you will. I thank you for what you've done in mine. And I thank you what you're going to continue to do. And, Lord, what you're going to continue to do in each person in this room. Lord, it's been so fun to watch so many of our folks here grow strong in their relationships with you. Lord, continue that growth as we go into this new year. And, Lord, let River Church be a light in a dark world. And we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the band's going to come up, I think. We're going to sing a song. Invite somebody to come back Sunday. I know Brian's picking up some king cake for Sunday just to be nasty right before we start fasting, okay, at lunch. Brian said, what time does the fast start? I said, right after lunch. He said, okay, I'm bringing king cake. And but we'll fast and pray. And for some of